You are Locked On Colts, your daily Indianapolis Colts podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Everybody, welcome back into your latest episode of Locked On Colts, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Today, as always, your host, Evan Settery, joined by Stephen Reed of Stampede Blue here on Monday night to recap today's biggest news, which was the Colts reeling in their big fish at left tackle. Eric Fisher, the former Chiefs left tackle, signed a one-year, $9.4 million deal with the Indianapolis Colts today. Huge one for the Colts, Stephen. I mean, getting Eric Fisher on board, of course, he did tear his Achilles in the AFC title game in late January, so he's going to have a rehab still for his Achilles injury. But a guy who's, I think, fully healthy, considered a top 10 left tackle in the NFL, to get him on board for this year and possibly beyond that to be a replacement for Anthony Costanzo. Once Fisher's fully healthy, and it seems like the Colts are very confident signing him to almost a $10 million deal for 1 year, that he's going to be back here pretty soon once the regular season starts and probably produce at a similar level to Anthony Costanzo. Colts fans should be over the moon about this, dude, because Eric Fisher on the left side of the offensive line, him and Quentin Nelson and Ryan Kelly, along with Mark Lewinsky and Braden Smith, the whole offensive line the Colts now have in place. Carson Wentz has to be giddy right now.
Yeah, but absolutely, especially given the talent that Fisher brings to the left tackle position, talent, experience, athleticism. He is that prototypical left tackle that Chris Ballard really likes. He's got long arms. He's got, you know, a really good short shuttle time. He's good in the running game. He's consistent, and that's really what you want. Obviously, the big question mark is when will he be healthy? When will he be able to play? The Colts seem to be putting him at like a late September, October return. I've heard, you know, every person is different when they recover from an injury. So some people are able to come back and come back a lot faster. I think Terrell Suggs recovered from an Achilles injury in like 5-6 months and was able to be full go. Other people take longer. Hopefully Eric Fisher is going to be on the shorter side of this and the Colts are going to get him back hopefully by the time the regular season starts. But if not, they have a competent backup in Sam Tevy, which has been Chris Ballard's mantra this entire time is don't overlook what Sam Tevy brings to the table. So it looks like they're probably going to be starting Tevy for the first part of the season. And then Eric Fisher is going to come in. And as everybody needs to remember, we now have 17 games in this season, so it's a little bit longer. So I'd much rather have a healthy Eric Fisher that's 100% there and for the 10-plus games plus the playoffs than, you know, have to go and force him back and potentially risk re-injuring that Achilles.
Yeah, and that's the big thing here, especially because I was listening to Pat McAfee earlier today on his show, and I think we all know who his Colts source is. I think we all should know at this point, which is it's Chris Ballard, the Colts GM. He's on that show many times, and McAfee always references his Colts source after news breaks. And I think if you listen to Pat by now, you know it's Chris Ballard as a source there. And Pat mentioned that he texted his quote-unquote source about this after the Fisher signing was official, and he mentioned that they're not going to rush him back. Hopefully he's back once the regular season starts, but they're going to take their time with this. It's obviously a huge injury, a guy at left tackle who's going to be planting a lot with his leg. So they're not going to really rush him back. So I've been hinting at this, and Stephen, you have as well. Like, it seems like the most likely scenario here is to let Fisher gel with this cohesive offensive line, bring him along slowly, and then put him on the pup list, I imagine, to start the season for the first 6 weeks. And then once that happens, he comes back around late September, early October, like you mentioned there. And with signing Sam Tevy, he's had over 40 games of starting experience at left tackle, even Julian Davenport, who's going to be a swing tackle as well. You have Will Holden there too. Those guys can battle it out for that left tackle spot. But it sounds like internally they're all in on Sam Tevy as that guy for a short-term Band-Aid. But looking at Fisher's numbers here for a second, just since 2018, comparing him head-to-head with Anthony Costanzo, I found this really interesting according to PFF, Pro Football Focus. Costanzo played 2,569 snaps from 2018 to 2020. Eric Fisher played 2,558. So Costanzo only played 11 more snaps than Fisher over that span. And they were pretty identical across the board. I mean, you have to factor in two Costanzo played next to Quentin Nelson over those 3 years. Eric Fisher did not have that same quality at all next to him. But Costanzo had a 77.5 PFF grade, 7 sacks allowed, and 8 penalties. Eric Fisher, on the other hand, 72.6 PFF grade, 8 sacks allowed, and 12 penalties. So pretty much the exact same player there. And if Fisher does come back to full health, and he's playing as Quentin Nelson and Ryan Kelly, this seems like a position here where there's not going to be much drop from what we've seen from Costanzo since 2018.
Yeah, it's probably going to be an upgrade if Fisher comes back fully healthy, because like you said, they've been pretty similar across this entire time, dating back to the past 3 years. So when you think about it, and you know that Anthony Costanzo has played next to an all-pro, a three-time first-team all-pro left guard, and Eric Fisher has, well, not done that, and you look back at the Buffalo game this past year in the playoffs and how they were able to make Valdir look like an adequate starter after coming literally like a week or two of practice and coming off the street, and he was fine playing next to Quentin Nelson. So I have high hopes for Eric Fisher if he's able to come back healthy, and I do think that this is a risk. It seems like Frank Reich was the one that allegedly was kind of pushed it over the edge between the Charles Leno Jr. or Eric Fisher debate. And it seemed like Frank Reich, according to Zach Kiefer over at The Athletic, that he was the one that kind of pushed it over the edge and said that, you know, let's get our guy. And Chris Ballard went and did that. And so, and I think that his contract, Eric Fisher's contract, if you look at the other contracts in the same range, like Riley Reiff signed, the other guys have signed, it's been in that $7 to $10 million range for these left tackles that have been cut. The way them signing him for like a, what, $9.4 million contract this year makes me think that they're expecting him to be back to play the majority of the season. Because otherwise you're probably not giving him that kind of contract. Or again, we don't know the details of the contract yet, but if it's not heavily, you know, active game bonus or active game incentive laden, then it makes you wonder, you know, it makes you wonder when they expect him to be back. Because if it's incentive laden based on, you know, active games, then they expect him to be back later. If it is just a base salary, you probably expect him to be back a little sooner.
Yeah, that's the big question with Fisher, is when he's going to be back. You have to imagine at this point, the most games he'll miss is probably like 4, 5, or 6. Hopefully the timetable we've heard from guys around the league could be mid-August or late August, early September. If that's the case, that means Fisher's going to be right back for the season opener. And that would be huge for this Colts team if they don't have to play Tevye at all. I know Tevye really is a downgrade, but he's serviceable. Like I mentioned, he's played over 40 games in the NFL as a starting left tackle, so he could at least be serviceable next to guy Quentin Nelson for a month or so if need be. But you look at Eric Fisher, he fits the athletic profile too, Steve. Obviously, the Achilles is a big question. We'll have to see how much explosiveness will be back. But they weren't worried about Dio Odengbo with his Achilles, but obviously he's 9 years younger than Eric Fisher. Fisher just turned 30 a couple months ago. The question here is the Colts really betting on Fisher to come back and being near himself. And I think it's a fair bet to make. As we talked before last week after the draft, like, I think we've known after they didn't draft the left tackle in the first two rounds that Chris Ballard had something cooking in his back pocket, and Eric Fisher made a lot of sense, the connections there. Ballard was in Kansas City as their director of player personnel when they drafted Eric Fisher, number one overall, Central Michigan in 2013. You bring him on board here with that connection. You have Quentin Nelson on the next time at left guard. I feel like the transition for Fisher could be, like, you don't have to be an elite left tackle. You can just be, like, a serviceable one. If you're elite, that's even a cherry on top. Like, if you're near Anthony Costanzo production, that's awesome. That's going to be making the Colts offensive line look great. But the upside here with Eric Fisher compared to Charles Leno, the debate we had last week, Steven, it's pretty immense. Like, the difference between peak Charles Leno and peak Eric Fisher, I don't think it's really a debate, because we've never seen Leno be a top 10 left tackle in the NFL, a multi-time Pro Bowler. I think if Fisher does come back at full health, this is a player that Colts fans should remember is really, really good. I mean, he really helped gel that Chiefs offensive line together when they're at full health the last couple of years before the injuries really hit them. But you have to think, honestly, if all goes well with Fisher in 2021, this might be a multi-year partnership here.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that it was only a one-year deal for $9.4 million. I kind of thought that, and we talked about this last week, I kind of thought it would be a two-year deal because it would give them a little bit of a buffer in terms of trying to find that long-term answer at the left tackle position. Now, if you know, Fisher is able to come back and he is fully healthy, the Colts can obviously extend him for a year or two, even three, honestly. Nowadays, left tackles are able to play until they're 35 if they want to, and especially these ones that have that athletic profile and the length that Fisher does. I think that, I was just a little bit surprised that they didn't sign him for a multi-year deal, even if it was going to be a little bit more costly to do so, just to give themselves the buffer. But again, they've got that franchise tag in their pocket if they need to use it. I don't think they would, but they've got it there in their pocket if they need to. The important thing for them, though, is they were able to, that after the draft, they had options at the left tackle position in free agency, guys that were more of that prototypical left tackle that Chris Ballard had talked about in his post-draft press conference, because it became really evident that that tier two of left tackles that you and I talked about, that we all of Colts Twitter, everybody listens, we all kind of thought that there were some pretty good left tackle prospects in that, but there were some buts that we always mentioned. We're like, oh yeah, well, they're all good, but none of them really have the arm length that you really want in a prototypical left tackle. None of them really have, like, there were only a handful of guys that really had that. And it sounds like Chris Ballard was pretty set on where he wanted to go with the position. And so he wasn't willing to really kind of give it up to go and get somebody that might be more suited to play the right side and just stick them in at left tackle, just see if they can work well with Quentin Nelson. Going out and getting Fisher or even Charles Leno Jr., if they would have gone that direction, I think gives them a higher upside for their team this year than what it would be if they would have drafted somebody in the second round or in the fourth round or whenever they would have taken a left tackle. I just feel like the value that they got with Quiddy Pay and Deo Odengo were just way too great for them to pass up and reach for a left tackle.
Totally agree with you there. And knowing that Fisher was kind of in their back pocket waiting for a call from Chris Bauer, that makes it even better. I mean, looking back on it now, Steve, I think it's fair to say, knowing that the Colts view Eric Fisher as a guy who's going to be able to fully recover from his Achilles injury, you take Quiddy Pay at 21 and then sign Eric Fisher to free agency every single time over Christian Darrisaw and bring it back Justin Houston, don't you?
Yeah, I think they probably looked to – yeah, if Quiddy Pay wasn't staring them in the face at 21, I think they would have probably gone Christian Darrisaw. And then they probably would have reached out to Justin Houston to possibly bring him back. It would make sense just to give him that kind of presence there. I think the important thing with the Colts is that they had multiple options for themselves. No matter which way they went, they had a fallback plan. So they obviously went defensive end for the first time since like 2002 when they went Dwight Freeney and Larry Triplett Jr. They, you know, did that, but they had that option at left tackle for him sitting in their pocket. And this goes again to the way that Chris Ballard has managed the salary cap. The fact that they had the ability to go out and pay $9.4 million for a left tackle, for a top-tier left tackle that was still on the market, then if you're a team like, you know, Pittsburgh or one of these other teams that just really mismanaged their cap, New Orleans, you come out of the draft and you're kind of like bargain hunting there at the bottom of the barrel. Chris Ballard came out of the draft and still had $22, $23 million in salary cap that he was able to use to, you know, finish filling that hole that they really did have on that roster. Because I wasn't, you know, super comfortable with Sam Tebbe, but at the same time, I'm not going to, you know, doubt Chris Ballard. He's been right so many times, especially when it comes to free agent signings and things like that. So, yeah, I think the important thing for the Colts is they had a plan no matter which direction they went. If they would have gone Christian Darrisaw, they bring back Justin Houston. They obviously went Quiddy Pay and Deo Odengo. And so then they went and reached out to Eric Fisher. And then 2 days later, Charles Leonard Jr. became available. So I think the important thing is they had a plan no matter what.
Just real quick before we dive into the last part of our show, talking more about just the Colts offseason as a whole now, because this Eric Fisher sign really puts the last big stamp on the Colts 2021 offseason. It's been a big one so far, but Fisher versus Costanzo head-to-head here, their mock draftable profiles. If you just closed your eyes and you just listen to what I'm reading here, it's literally the exact same person, it seems like to me. Costanzo here, really quickly, 6'7", 3'11", 34.5-inch arms, 10.5-inch hands, 5'2", 40, almost a 30-inch vertical jump and a 4-4 shuttle with 28 reps on the bench press. Go to Eric Fisher, 6'7", 306, 34.5-inch arms, 10.5-inch hands, 5.0540, 28.5-inch vertical jump, and a 4-4 shuttle and a 27 reps on the bench press. This literally, the athletic profile scheme between these two guys are all the exact same. I feel like we kind of know now, like, I think Ballard has a type there at left tackle. When you see that the Costanzo profile and the Fisher profile, not a lot of guys, if any at all, maybe outside of Darrisaw, really fit that profile in this class for the draft.
Yeah, they really don't. It's funny because I looked up the mock draftable spiderweb too, and I saw like the number one or one of the top like five comparisons to Eric Fisher was Anthony Costanzo. It's like, well, that makes sense. It's kind of what we've all kind of seen with it. But yeah, it's one thing that's really interesting is it's clear that Chris Ballard really does have a type when it comes to the left tackle position. He lucked into Anthony Costanzo and was able to have their starting left tackle for 4 years and not have to worry about the position. But it's pretty clear that he's not going to reach for guys that don't quite fill what he's looking for. It's something similar to what we've said with wide receivers or, you know, defensive backs, defensive linemen. He's got a type. And he pretty much sticks to that unless they do something just extraordinarily well that they can't, that they just, you just can't stop them. And it's something that they reiterated in the With the Next Peer series is, you know, what does this guy do that's unique? And that's the outlier that Chris Ballard would go for. Otherwise, he's going for guys that fit his box. And Eric, now we know, for left tackles, they're looking for guys that are tall with long arms that are able to anchor themselves pretty well and that have good shuttle times. You know, they're looking for those athletic profiles, but also with the long arms there at the left tackle position.
Hey, Colts fans, listen up. Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC, is offering a complimentary bottle to all football fans in America. To get your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total, text DRAFT to 231-231. This unique man-boosting formula is powered by Testofen, which helps boost free testosterone and total testosterone levels and increase energy and lean muscle mass. Plus, text now and they'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, their most powerful fat incinerator ever, with key ingredients to help you get back in shape absolutely free. Text DRAFT to 231-231. That's DRAFT, D-R-A-F-T, to 231-231. Message and data rates may apply. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season's in full swing, you can track all the action over at Bet Online. This week has tons of sports action on the go you're going to want to check out as well. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to Bet Online, your laptop or mobile device, and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sell on signs anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device right now, sign up today, and receive your 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. Again, that's 50% off your first deposit bet online with the promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON. Again, the promo code is LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Let's dive in, Steven, into just looking over the 2021 offseason as a whole now, because Eric Fisher signed to a one-year, almost $10 million deal. Puts really a big finishing touch here. Maybe the Colts go out and get a couple names here and there as just really cheap depth pieces across the board now. But when you think about back in January, once they lost to Buffalo, like what their needs were to attack this offseason, we knew it was offensive line depth because that kind of cost them a game or two last year when Costanzo went down, as did Braden Smith due to COVID-19 against Pittsburgh. But you see just the offensive line depth is a huge need. They went out and addressed that in a big way before they got Fisher. They got Tevi, they got Davenport, they got Chris Reed. They drafted Will Freeze in the seventh round. You have Danny Pinter developing. You have Will Holden developing. There's like a 9 or 10 guys. It's going to be fun to watch the offensive line depth in training camp, see who makes the roster in the very end there. But you swap out Phillip Rivers, who was immobile. He was a statue. Very good quarterback. But at age 38, 39, he was not going to push them over, I think, a ceiling we already saw in 2020, which was the wild card and really pushing the Bills to the edge there. You get Carson Wentz, who's more mobile. He has the relationship with Frank Reich. He has the MVP type upside. If he can tap into that somehow and rekindle that with Frank Reich, this Colts team has a really amazing ceiling long term here. So swap out Rivers for a more mobile quarterback and Carson Wentz. You get Kwity Paye, who we both have been singing the praises of for the last few months on the podcast. You get him luckily at number 21 overall in this year's draft, who comes in day one, replaces Justin Houston. I think adds a lot more juice off the edge there. You should throw next to Forrest Buckner. You get Eric Fisher, who's on the same level as Andy Costanzo after he retired. You re-sign T.Y. Hilton, Xavier Rhodes, Marlon Mack, and more to add more depth to this team and keep some of that explosive pieces on offense as well. And Xavier Rhodes is such an important piece to that defensive backfield right now with how he played last year in the Matt Eberflus zone-heavy defense. You get Kylan Granson to replace Trey Burton as your move tight end. I think it's an upgrade with the athletic profile that Granson provides. And then Deo Odengbo, obviously he's not going to be playing much this year, but long-term, he's your more explosive Denico Autry, where I think he should be in a really good position to thrive in India as well. And in the meantime, you have Tyquan Lewis, who actually had a better PFF grade than Denico Autry last year, filling in that role in the meantime. Across the board, Steven, I think the Colts improved or at least got the same level of talent than what was lost this past offseason. That really goes to show, in my opinion, that Chris Brown, I think, hit this 2021 offseason out of the park.
Yeah, man. It's something that has been interesting because Chris Ballard, every offseason, he talks about, you know, position groups that he really wants to improve. And this past year, he talked about the depth in the offensive line, and he definitely really addressed that. Talked about, you know, edge rusher, get after passer. He definitely addressed that. And what I think is interesting is, you know, we talk a lot about Justin Houston and Nico Autry and them being big losses. I'm on the fence about that because both of those guys just seem to disappear at times. And so I think the Colts have gotten a much better at the defensive end position and at the pass rush position with Quiddy Pay and Isaac Rochelle and Dio Dango. And so I feel like they've actually gotten a lot better there. And I think the depth of the offensive line has gotten a lot better. Hopefully Paris Campbell is going to be able to come back to full strength. And then if he's not, they've got some really sneaky guys on this roster that I think could be, you know, pretty good players for them. Like, you know, the Tyler Vaughns out of USC, the rookie, the undrafted free agent. Like, the dude is slippery in cover, like when he's out running routes. He's hard to find. Desmond Patman, they expect to make a big push this year. I think this roster is one of the more talented ones on paper in the AFC as a whole. And that's, you know, including Kansas City. I think the Colts have a significantly better defense than Kansas City does. I think the Colts are better at the offensive line. Like, the one big factor is, you know, Patrick Mahomes there in Kansas City. I find the same thing with Buffalo. Like, Buffalo and the Colts, their defenses are pretty similar in terms of how they'd match up. I think the Colts have a better offensive line. And then, you know, Josh Allen is a difference maker. The question for the Colts this entire season is going to come down to, can Carson Wentz produce? And if he can, then the Colts are probably looking at a, you know, top two seed, top three seed in the AFC and a potential Super Bowl run. And if Carson Wentz isn't very good, then the whole team's probably going to suffer and they're probably going to be looking at, you know, possibly, you know, winning the division just because the talent on the roster is so good. So if Carson Wentz is just average, I think the Colts probably still are in competition to win the AFC South. Because just the roster as a whole and the moves that Chris Ballard has made has been just great for the entire team as a whole.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that because it's a good segue into the Carson Wentz discussion. Because you look at this offense on paper right now, offensive line, first off, Eric Fisher, Quentin Nelson, Ryan Kelly, Mark Lewinsky, Brian Smith, and the aforementioned depth behind them. Go to tight end, Jack Doyle, Molly Cox, Kylan Granson as their new move tight end who can be moved around the offense. T.Y. Hilton, Michael Pittman Jr., Paris Campbell, and Zach Pascal is a really good four at wide receiver. And I think if Paris is healthy, Michael Pittman Jr. I think is going to be a WR1 this year and get a lot of targets. I think maybe close to 100 targets this year, in my opinion. And T.Y. is probably going to be taking more of a backseat. He could be used more as a vertical possession threat when need be. And you add in the running back trio of Jonathan Taylor, Nyheim Hines, and Marlon Mack. I expect big years from Taylor and Pittman. Paris, if he stays healthy, is going to add a new element to this offense. Everything's set up on paper, Steven. And you add in the Frank Reich element too. Like, he's a very good play caller. And with all these guys in the offense, I think Frank Reich's kind of a field day this year. It's going to look more so like the 2018 offense with Andrew Luck than it has the last couple of years, Jacoby Brissett and Phillip Rivers. But if Carson Wentz can be back to a top 10 quarterback, Steven, I have no qualms in saying this should be like a 13-4 type of team this year. Like, I think 12 to 13 wins, maybe more than that. If Carson Wentz can get back to the old version of Carson Wentz from 2017 to 2019, who was a top 10 quarterback in the NFL, and if he gets to that MVP type level we saw in 2017 in Frank Reich before he left for Indianapolis, like this team has such an immense ceiling because on defense too, like you go across there, you have Quiddy Pay, DeForest Buckner on defensive line, Grover Stewart, and you have Darius Leonard, of course, and Bobby Okereke, a linebacker, Xavier Rhodes, Julian Blackman, and Curry Willis in the secondary. And I think a lot less pressure could be on Rocky Sin this year with that aforementioned adding a pass rush on board that would take off some of the pressure in the defensive backfield. It really is on Carson Wentz's shoulders. Like, this team on paper looks very special to me, Steven. And if Carson Wentz can bounce back, like, oh my, this could be a really fun year.
Oh, it should be a really fun year for because I have ultimate faith in Carson Wentz. If you just saw that second episode of With the Next Pick, I think it was titled Deep Conviction, and Carson Wentz just, you saw the stress and anxiety and everything just kind of melt off of him on camera with how comfortable he felt with Frank Reich and with this system and just being in Indianapolis and being back in the Midwest, a place that being out, like when you grow up in the Midwest and you move someplace else, like it's a culture shock for you. And so to be thrown from North Dakota, where he's the prodigal son of North Dakota, he's the best player that's ever come out of the state probably, and then go to the state school, and then you go to thrown in the fire into Philadelphia, like that's tough on anybody. And then now he gets an opportunity to play with his favorite coach that he's ever had. And then you get to come to Indianapolis, where the media market, I love all of the beat writers, and I think they're fantastic, but they're not nearly as difficult to deal with as the guys in Philadelphia. You're going to get a fan base that's going to embrace you no matter what. So I just feel like Carson Wentz is going to be so much better than what he was last year. And when you look at it, I think Carson Wentz, every year except for last year, he had a top 10 offensive line. And quite honestly, if you give me Carson Wentz from 2017 to 2019, the Colts are, like you said, 13-4. You know, for anywhere between 12 to 14 wins is possible for the Colts. And I think that wins the AFC South this next year, because I don't see Tennessee continuing to get lucky. Because that's, for the past couple of years, that's what Tennessee's done, is they've pulled out a bunch of really lucky wins. And so I just see the Colts really taking a stranglehold on this division for the foreseeable future if Carson Wentz can come back, and I believe that he will.
Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. Built Bar has 9 delicious flavors, plus the occasional limited time flavor. When you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their faves, and there's so much to talk about too. There's something for everyone out there. Most of the flavors have 17 grams of protein with 130 calories and only 4 grams of sugar. That's a great tasting snack to tide you throughout the day. All that's super healthy for you as well. Order today and get whatever flavor you like over on Built Bar. Again, go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your next order of Built Bars. Again, use promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED15, for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Last question here, Steve, before we close out the show. Appreciate the time as always, man. Just looking at this Colts team and their offseason, just one more time on paper, like, how would you describe this offseason? Because like we just mentioned over the last couple minutes, Chris Bauer really has addressed every single need and really spearheaded it head on. We saw last year, we had that one big question with offensive line depth that really Bauer, I think, ignored on accident last year with not getting enough depth behind their starters. I think he had overconfidence in that starting unit to keep playing consecutive games together. I think they had 22 straight games they started together, and then injuries kind of piled up this year. But now they have the depth behind them. You have Carson Wentz on board now, back with Frank Reich. I think it's fair. I get to give this Colts offseason a grade, Steven, now with the Eric Fisher sign to add on top here. I think it's fair to say, I mean, obviously you have to see what happens on the field in the regular season, but on paper, Steven, I think it's fair to say this is an A offseason. I think the Colts, if Carson Wentz bounces back, that's obviously the huge domino in the room that has to fall still, but if Carson Wentz bounces back, this Colts team, I think, has an A offseason, absolutely.
Yeah, Evan, that's kind of where I'm at with it. And if you were going to tell me to pick one word for this offseason, I'd say steady. Because, you know, Chris Ballard's been calm. He's been steady this entire process. He hasn't pushed things. He's just kind of let things, you know, fall in their place and then taken advantage. He did that in the draft, getting Quiddy Pay, which – everybody, yourself and I mean, if I went back and re-listened to our podcast, and boy, the excitement in our voice, it was crazy. And you could tell with the next pick, the Colts were excited. I mean, you saw Chris Ballard bang the desk with how excited he was that Quiddy Pay was there and the Giants went with Kadarius Toney, because we all thought that the Giants were going to take Quiddy Pay. So Chris Ballard, this entire offseason, he's been steady. He's been calm. He hasn't pushed things. He hasn't rushed it. He's just been Chris Ballard. And he's, you know, the number one rated drafting GM. And I think you're going to find a lot of those websites that come out with those immediate grades after the draft that have the Colts as like the lowest graded position, because they said, oh, well, they didn't address the left tackle position. It was such a major position of need for them, that they just don't understand the philosophy that Chris Ballard uses and their approach to the draft. And I think that in 2 years, all those people are probably going to be eating crow, because you're going to have just two dominant defensive ends, I think, in Quiddy Pay and Deo Adangbo. You're going to have some solid contributors there with Kylan Granson as that F tight end, and Sean Davis there as that enforcer, that third safety that the Colts really wanted. And they were hoping Malik Hooker would be that last year, but he obviously got injured as well. And so I would grade this offseason as an A, especially after they got this Eric Fisher signing done. He's done everything that he said he wanted to do. He addressed the depth of the offensive line. He addressed the pass rush, which is clearly their biggest need from going into this offseason. And he's added youth. I think they've got like maybe 3 or 4 players total over the age of 30 on the roster. They're still super, super young. Yeah, they've got 4 players right now over the age of 30. It's T.Y. Hilton, Jack Doyle, Xavier Rhodes, and T.J. Carey. That's the list. That's all. Everybody else is under 30. So the Colts just have, you know, just great depth. They've got great youth. They're bringing it up the way Chris Ballard wanted through the draft. They're building through the draft. They're signing their own players. I think this has been a great offseason for the Colts. And I know that sometimes I can be considered a homer because I am such a fan of the team. But they really did address all the needs that they wanted to address. And the big question mark is going to be Carson Wentz. If he returns to 2017 to 2019 form, this is an absolute A-plus of an offseason. If he, for whatever reason, reverts back to 2020 and his confidence and his entire, you know, persona, his whole psyche is broken, then it's going to probably be a B offseason for me, just because you can't do anything without a quarterback. They still made some great moves at other positions, but the quarterback's going to be set in the back. But I still think Carson Wentz is going to bounce back and he's going to return to form.
Steven, always enjoy having you on. We're going to be having you, I imagine, probably back on later this week, because less than 48 hours from now, the NFL schedule comes out. We're going to be very interested to see what happens here when the Colts have that schedule released, what the schedule is going to look like, because this is a tough schedule for this Colts team. But with everything that's on paper and today's news, signing Eric Fisher to a 1-year, $9.4 million deal to replace Anthony Costanzo as our new left tackle in 2021, it looks really, really good. So Colts fans, go ahead and follow Steve if you're not already on Twitter at NiceReadSteve. And go listen to his podcast, as always, over on Stampede Blue. Steven, appreciate the time tonight.
Thanks, Evan. Have a good one.